We hear a lot about transgender in the news, and we're going to talk about that right now with Denise Schick, who has a unique perspective, as you'll see in a moment. And she's the author of a book called Transgender Confusion, which is a biblically based question and answer for families. Her website is helpforfamilies.com, and the word for is the number four. Denise, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. This is Vocal Point, and I'm Jerry Newcomb. Now, Denise, I've got a question for you. Your father was transgender, is that correct?
Correct. He was. When I was 9 years old, he told me of his desire to become a woman.
Just tell us the whole story.
The whole story. Well, you know, to be honest, at 9 years old, I didn't have any idea how that was going to affect my life. I really didn't think that it had, other than feeling the immediate loss of a father. But I would discover a few years later the many difficult challenges that I would be faced with. It wasn't just only losing my dad or the figure of my dad, but as well as losing what that means in a child's life, having a father figure.
Can I back you up real fast?
Sure.
Did he actually become supposedly a female? I mean, did he have a sex change operation? Every time you saw him after that, he was basically a woman?
No, my father had told me, and so he did this in the closet and in little nightclubs and such in the neighborhood. It wasn't until I was 28 that he had left to transition. However, when you have a father that tells you that he wants to become a woman, and how I would know when he was feeling that way, you still felt an immediate loss. You know, as a child, I thought, I don't have a dad anymore. He doesn't want to be my dad anymore. He wants to be this other person.
Were your parents together at this time, or were they divorced, or what?
No, they were together, yes, sir. It was a situation where my mother went into the marriage believing that marriage would help him and make him feel better. And that, you know, the marriage would be a healing part for this. But obviously, you know, that was not the case and is not the case in these situations. But she was not aware that he had told me this. She thought that it was between just the two of them. So it was walking this out quietly in silence. I did not want to disturb my mother. Felt like I would be causing her some emotional distress if she knew. Even at 9 years old, you understand what seems kind of chaotic and what may cause some stress to the other parent. So I had taken on the role to protect her by remaining quiet and silent on this. So, you know, with losing, my immediate reaction was, I've just lost my dad. Hmm. I don't have a dad anymore. Because mentally he's telling me he didn't want to be my father and that he didn't want children.
Did your dad love you?
Did my dad love me? I would say that he did, but I think it took a long time for him to discover, you know, love and children. And
you know why I ask? I ask because so many people in our culture today say it doesn't matter what you are or what you do, as long as there's love. It doesn't matter if there's a same-sex household, if both of those are loving parents. And that's not true, but I want to hear your side of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, love, we can all be loved and love others, but what's best for children, or what children just naturally desire to have, is a mom and a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, from that day on, I went looking at other men in the neighborhood to be a foster father, looking for that figure and imagining, you know, as I went to my girlfriend's houses, no matter what age, whether a little girl or teenager, and, you know, just taking on, like, gosh, I wish I was their daughter, or pretending that I was their daughter, pretending that they were my father, just longing for that.
How did this resolve, your own quest?
It resolved through, oh, my goodness, it took many years, you know, this whole process. because of walking that out with losing my dad and then looking for a father figure and looking for the affirmation from other boys, young men, that sometimes took me down a dangerous path, to the Lord bringing in a man named Mark into my life who came and respected me and really wanted to get to know me and who I was. And he came from a Christian home. And his behavior, his actions, everything was representing God, you know, in a healthy way. And so that drew me to him and in a relationship with him. And later we married. But it was walking all of this out. It's such a complicated situation for a child to come in the midst of, or even in the beginning of, losing a parent in this way. And when I was 28, my dad had decided to leave then to officially pursue becoming Becky. And that, of course, you know, had brought a whole nother level of devastation, because though that he and my relationship was very challenging, I still had a love for him. You know, he was still my dad, no matter how angry I would get at him. He was still my father. And to understand that he was hurting and that there just wasn't anywhere for him to go. Hmm. Whether he would have chosen or not, I don't know that. But at 28 years old, it was reliving this all over again, you know, going into a state of depression, of not wanting to take the covers off your head, telling your feet that you can walk again. Because now you are officially losing a person that is still living, but you don't have any closure of the person that you've known and that you've loved all those years.
Okay, and how long did he live this way as Becky?
Yeah, he had lived that way until he was 65.
Oh,
when
wow.
He passed away from esophagus cancer.
Oh. How old was he, by the way, when you were 28? I mean, I'm not trying to play the age game. I'm just trying to figure out how many years was he living fully as a supposedly as a woman?
15.
Okay. There's an incredible push in the culture, in the media, in Hollywood, even from the President of the United States, for transgenderism and homosexuality and so forth. Well, you have a unique perspective on this. You obviously don't agree with it.
No, I don't. I've seen the harm come, not just to my family, but to so many families. You know, I've been doing ministry work now for 12 years, and the heartbreaks of those that you hear from, and it isn't just, you know, you've got the moms, the dads, the siblings, the children, but even the individuals that are battling this inside. And I've actually had some folks that have said, you know, I'm trying to fight against this very thing that seems to be killing me and stealing everything from me, but yet the government and everybody else is promoting it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm sure you know Walt Heyer. I interviewed him, and he was, I forgot offhand what he said about the exact statistic, but the suicide rate, or even attempted suicide rate, from transgender people is exceedingly high. And it's not because of the culture's rejection of them. It's because of the phenomenon itself. And in fact, if anything, the culture's acceptance, frankly, will exacerbate this problem as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a high suicide rate. And though that the culture or society, people in general think, well, if somebody has sex reassignment surgery, they're going to feel complete and they're going to be happy to be who they are. Well, if that's true, why are there so many? You know, we have a 41% that's attempted suicide. Why are so many considering?
Okay, let's be specific. 41% of transgenders, or 41% of people who went through the reassignment surgery?
Of transgenders, of those that identify as being transgender. So you're not talking about just those that have gone through the surgery. And I think that says a lot, because it says that there are other underlying issues here.
Okay, Denise.
31,
What would you say to those critics of this perspective that we're espousing on this radio show? What would you say to those who would say, look, it's because you people and, you know, the Bible and all that stuff condemns this kind of thing, that's why you have the attempted suicide rate so high?
Well, I don't personally believe that because of what I've seen. It isn't just taken my situation or my story or knowing of my dad, who as well had suicidal thoughts. We've got to take a look at what about the 31% that do are successful at suicide, even those that have had the reassignment surgery and are living the other identity. There's so much depression and anxiety, you know, that the loved ones are living under. Some of them have obsessive compulsiveness or personality disorder. There's other psychological reasons that this can exist. So if we change our bodies on the outside, we may look different, but inside we're not feeling any different. And we aren't dealing with the true underlining, the root issues.
Now, you have said, and I quote, homosexuality and transgenderism is unhealthy, end of quote. Your comment, you want to elaborate?
It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for the individual themselves. We know of the AIDS, HIV. There's also domestic violence, an increase of that with those that live in these type of situations. It really destroys a life that God had created in a different and joyful way. It steals the family unit. It takes from the family. There's so many different levels of these situations that families face. And if we talk about the transgenderism, it never stops. There is always a boundary that somebody's having to put up, a heartache that they're going to face because of the family situation or what the loved one is doing at that point. They're just the reality of it. This is like transgenderism is like putting a pebble in the water and you watch the ripple effects of it. And it just goes on and on and on. And to be honest, that's really how this affects the families that I am aware of, that I know of. It never stops.
Okay, so I take it you know, when you hear somebody like President Obama saying, okay, I'm going to do this policy to force these open bathrooms, and I'm doing it because of the golden rule, which, by the way, is from Jesus himself, treat others as you would have them treat you. And you would say, you know, in reality, Obama is not treating people kindly here because he's adding to the problem, not helping to alleviate the problem.
He is. Yes, the politicians in general are adding to the problem. They are promoting, to me, self-destruction of the family, unit, and of individuals.
Okay, we have about a minute and a half left. I'm sorry for interrupting, but let's leave on an end of hope. Is there hope?
There's always hope.
Okay.
You know, where there is God, there is always hope. And I love to hear from the former transgenders that call or those that are walking this out in their own journey and to hear of the hope that they have and the healing that they've had because they've had the courage to face the situations that have driven them to this type of a behavior.
And so in your ministry, in your work, you have definitely worked with people where they've come out of it. What would you say, I mean, we have about half a minute left, what would you say is the biggest key to overcoming these kinds of problems? On a personal note.
The biggest key is going to be facing reality and to face it with God helping.
Okay, you had 20 seconds.
Okay. You know, God is there to walk the journey out no matter how hopeless the situation seems. But he is the healer, and he is the healer of those emotional wounds, of the rejection, of what somebody is driven to run from.
Mm.
So when we run to God, he is with us.
All right. Denise Schick, thank you so much for sharing. Transgender Confusion is her book. You can get more information at help4families.com. Thank you so much, Denise. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.